You are listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show, broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF FM in Peterborough, Canada.
Hey kids!
I'm Batman.
Look, up in the sky! It's a bird!
It's a plane!
It's dance-off, bro! Me and you!
Hello and welcome to Hey Kids Comics. I'm your host, Dan Collins.
Hey there, this is Martin Bruda.
Chris Gill.
Hi, I'm Sam Tweedle. I could talk about Archie forever.
The biggest bane to my existence right now is Shield number 9.
They know that I would have put it under my shirt and ran off.
What are you talking about? I haven't seen any Action Comics number 1.
Gwenpool, I mean Spider-Gwen, the whole heat and stuff, this is going to be worth a few bucks. And nobody wanted it.
Yes, Dan, the Killing Joke does need to be R-rated.
I kind of like punching the walls of reality as a way to bring a character back because nobody knows what we're talking about right now.
Dark Knight Strikes Back was one of the biggest piles of dung ever, and it was what, $10 an issue?
We need to shame Sam. He is not here because he's gone to the Gem and the Holograms movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, and everybody who identifies somewhere in between, welcome to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show on this smooth and cool Friday evening. One of your hosts, Martin Bruda.
I'm Adam Bishop.
And I'm Chris Ellis.
All right. How we all feeling today?
Low and slow.
We're low and slow.
Comics!
How's everybody doing?
Good.
We had a hilarious show last week. You guys sound like you were on happy go-go juice, laughing your brains out.
Maple syrup.
Maple syrup.
Is that what it was? So.
Might have been.
What do we, hey, right off the bat, we're all going to see, or at least most of us are going to go see, Heavy Metal.
Absolutely.
Heavy Metal animated movie is being re-shown at Cineplex. It's next weekend?
Yeah. Next Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Is it on all 3 days?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was only on Friday.
No, it's 3.
Oh, all right.
Funny story. Dan came into my workplace today.
Yeah.
I said to him, are you coming to the movie tonight? And he's like, tonight? I'm like, yeah. He goes, you idiot, that's next Friday. I'm like, it is? Fully thought it was tonight. Nope, it's next Friday.
Next Friday. 9:50.
Next Friday. Yeah.
So we got enough time to get out of here.
It's going to be great.
Scarf a taco. Yep. Sit there and watch.
Heavy Metal. My wife saw the preview, like the little spiel they have in there, and she's like, that sounds like a really weird movie.
Oh, man.
It's great.
And I was like, it is a weird movie, but it's a lot of fun, too.
That's one of those flicks, other than Highlander, of course, that I owned on VHS, DVD, Blu-ray, HD. No, I didn't own that on HD DVD.
Does anybody own an HD
DVD? I did.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I bought into HD DVD. Huge. Oh, I had the player hooked up to my Xbox 360.
That's the same here.
Yeah, and I had discs like
did
crazy.
Did you have Waterworld? Because Waterworld was on each DVD.
I had a
DVD.
Bunch. I had a stack. At least.
I didn't buy a single one.
And then the second I heard that Warner Brothers dropped the format, I was like, Warner's dropped the format, I was like, on eBay. Go. $5 each.
Get rid of it.
I had the Matrix set. That's right.
Sold it all in 3 days, and then all of a sudden the market just went...
Yeah, well, crashed. That's good you saw the sign coming, because they were yard sale specials for a long time.
Yeah.
Toshiba was like, no, we're not making any more players. 99 cents a disc.
Yeah.
Please, take it away for 99 cents.
Yeah.
Here, I'll give you 99 cents. Please take it with you.
People thought HD DVD was going to win because of pornography. So, like,
yeah, that's what they always say, but I don't know. I mean... There was a lot of marketing behind the scenes and stuff like this, and Sony learned their lesson from Betamax and stuff like this, and they were trying not to be as greedy, and I don't know, it worked out, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that discs are relevant anymore.
I still buy discs.
I do, but you don't see them as big as they used to be.
It's hard to justify sometimes, too, like... For some reason, Thor 2 Dark World on DVD or even Blu-ray is like $27.
That's bananas.
It's not even that great of a movie. I just wanted it to complete the trilogy, but it's like, I will not pay $27 for Thor Dark World.
The Waterworld 4K is still $25.
Is it?
And I'm like, it's too much. $19, just $5. Just drop just a little bit.
What about the Arrow one? Which one's that?
Oh, yeah, that's Arrow.
Well, yeah, but...
Yeah. That had the Ulysses cut, the theatrical cut, then the TV edit.
No. I haven't taken out a shrink wrap yet.
Have you not?
Oh no, I should. Gotta watch Jack Black in Waterworld.
They killed Eddie.
They killed Eddie.
He was flying the plane. No, Jack was flying the plane.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, man.
I thought it was a great movie.
Welcome to Hey Kids Waterworld.
Hey Kids Waterworld.
Show off your gills.
I'm gonna start the day off with...
comics.
A comic book.
A comic book.
It's Action Lab.
Now, a while ago, somebody introduced Shirtless Bear Fighter. And we thought, this is the most ridiculous thing possible. This is going to be the dumbest book possible.
It was good.
And I can't remember somehow I managed to get number one. Maybe my buddy Harry gave it to me. I can't even remember. It was awesome.
It was good.
It was hilarious. So ever since, anytime there's like a weird, unusual comic book, I'm like, all right, I want number one. Let's go. Let's see what it's like. So I picked up from Action Lab, Chainsaw Reindeer.
Nice.
And this is literally a reindeer with a chainsaw. So I'm looking at this book. This is not Shirtless Bear Fighter. This is it tries, but fails miserably. So basically, Santa Claus is a sexually abusive drunk who abuses his reindeer.
Oh.
And the elves are like, he's this one balloon. What the hell are you looking at? Shouldn't you be making toys? Get back to work. As he's drinking a beer going into the stables.
Nice.
So needless to say, the reindeer has had enough of this and ends up murdering Santa. And then he kills all the elves because they were, you know, passively there. They try to escape in a sled. The sled gets shot down by some hunters. And the very first thing the hunters want to do is, you got a pretty mouth. So he chainsaws all of them. So I'm like, there's a lot of reindeer sodomy going on in this book. I mean, this is excessive. I was kind of hoping to give this to Dan Collins because it seems like it might be right up his spurt. He ends up killing the queen. He's murdering everybody. He's at a wrestling match. Like, it's just literally, they divide the book into six panels per page. And there's like 12 panels. It's just him killing random people.
Nice.
He goes to King Tut's tomb and he kills the skeleton of King Tut. And he's like murdering this person in Hollywood and murdering just everybody. And in the end, he's like basically, he goes to a space station. He kills everybody on the space station. He's just like murdering everybody. And it's like, probably not to be continued. If you want more Chainsaw Reindeer, write to the publisher. I'm like, I don't see issue two coming out.
Not to be continued. I think it's interesting that you said like at the end they ended up on the spaceship because that was where what's his name? Friday the 13th, you know, Jason ended up, right? With Jason.
Wasn't that X. Jason X?
Yeah. And they ended up on the space station and they're doing like, they tried to trap him in the room with like the fake people, like they're not even really there, and he's like hacking in and they're just like blurring out. He's like, what's going on?
Just kill, maim, destroy. Kill, maim, destroy.
Yep. Evil gets an upgrade.
So yeah, I actually read a stack of books and that was the very first one in the pile that I picked up and I was just like, what did I do? What did I do? This is worse than some of those Trump comics that they have.
Oh, you know, some of those, they looked hilarious. I just could not, you know, bring myself to purchase one though. Oh, look at that. She Trump.
I actually brought one in. The Tremendous Trump, She Trump. Now who's the greatest one there is? Trump turns into a female Hulk.
Nice.
From Arctic Press. I don't know. I haven't read it yet, but I brought it in to just kind of look at it.
It's going into the shredder.
Some of them are kind of wacky, I think. But they, like, the resale on them kind of skyrocketed. Like they were, I don't know, $5.99 or something new, but they're like $20+ now.
Some of them, yeah. Like when the hype first hit, but after it kind of, what am I doing here? I'm trying to type in bleeding cool, and I typed in bleed cooling, and then I changed it to bleeding cooling,
and nothing comes up.
Nothing's coming up.
Oh man!
I'm trying to open up a comic bag, and it's so loud.
No, grab it. Go for it. Because Adam was doing a little bit of bin diving, weren't you?
Oh, I was.
What'd you find?
Well, this wasn't from a bin, but this is Money Shot number one, cover C.
Ooh, cover C.
It was in a black bag. I was like, don't give this to kids. And I was like, of course I'll buy this. I'll let you look at it.
Holy moly. Oh, yes. You showed me this one before with all the red jam everywhere.
Yeah, this is about a group of scientists who can't get funding for any of their projects. So... aliens have made contact with Earth, but they decide that we weren't worth their time, so they don't bother with us. And what happens is they need money, so what they figure, if we go to alien planets and have sex with the aliens, we can stream it and get people to subscribe and pay to watch this happen. And that's the basis of the book. And it
seriously.
It's actually really good. I enjoyed it. I'm like, I'm on this. This is great.
Well, the art's great.
Oh, the art's amazing.
Like, I don't know who's the artist here, because this is better than 3/4 of the books that are coming out of Marvel.
Yeah.
Drawn by Rebecca Isaacs. Rebecca, you're awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Some of the stuff coming out of Marvel, it's like.
At first, I was like, my friend Cody made me get it. And I was like, oh, no.
Made you get it. Yeah. Give me a break.
Totally then, twisted your arm.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't even know what it's about. And he was like, oh, apparently the Rebecca artist had to inform people it's not pornography. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. But yeah, the story is amazing. The art's incredible. Yeah, just going around having sex with aliens to stream it to make money to fund their other projects. So, yeah.
It's nice. It kind of reminds me of that Yoda meme where it's got, like, the female gremlin on it, and it said, young I was, needed money I did.
Yeah, the cover is by Mirka. So I'm
sorry, man.
Oh, is there chocolate?
And what's it called? Money Shot?
Money Shot. What's all my comic book?
Oh. Yeah. What do
Money
you...
Shot. And it's called Money Shot because their like Stargate type portal was called Starshot, and then other people just nicknamed it Money Shot.
$32.85 for Money Shot number one Virgin cover with no logos on it. Money Shot number one A, B, C, and D. Variant covers, yeah. $50. This is going for a few dollars here.
Yeah, it's good.
You never know what's gonna spike, right?
Come to HBO.
Oh my gosh, look at this one. Money Shot Star Wars homage cover. Oh, now I know which one I want, except it's $45.
Yeah, I saw they had covers A, B, C, maybe D. At Gotham, where I got this.
Oh, yeah. When did it come out?
Last 2 weeks ago, I think.
Oh, okay. So there's no chance it's going to be on the shelf still.
There was a stack of D covers. This was the only C cover, and it was at the back of the stack. And I looked it up online, and there was no picture of this one online from when I bought it. And then, yeah, I uploaded the picture to CLZ, so hopefully other people know what it looks like now.
Money Shot number one C, black bagged variant, $14.99 or best offer. That's the cheapest one out there.
I didn't pay that.
It's the black bag variant. Cover B is $5.52, but $20.16 shipping.
Worth it.
The beauty of the shipping on eBay.
They have to put it in a box or else it's just going to get smushed. So I can understand it.
Say they're putting it in a box.
Oh, and then you get...
For $20, they stick it in a mailer and it comes like folded in a cube for you.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those finger things that the kids used to have in public school that was like 1, 2, 3, 4.
It's true. Because I thought that we were going to go see heavy metal tonight, I read... I read Heavy Metal Fact 2, the movie special.
I've never seen that.
Which is limited to, it says 10,000 copies, 8,347.
I've recognized Julie Strain all over the cover, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Hello.
I have a couple of her Heavy Metal comic books at home. Yeah, this is written by Kevin Eastman, I think. Let's see. Yeah, story by Kevin Eastman.
All right.
Yep.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. Yes, that was really fun, because I haven't seen the movie in a long time for that one.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I remember, it's pretty faithful to it. I think this comic was made before the movie came out.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of stuff in the back. I think it just shows where you can get like some of the artwork, see some of the original art in comic form. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Everybody's distracted. What?
By comic. I can keep on going. What else did I bring? So in the back of that, there was a preview for Melting Pot, which I was like, I have all of those at home. Which is just Ninja Turtle-y style art, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, I remember this book.
Did you, have you seen the movie?
Not.
Haven't seen the second Heavy Metal movie?
No.
No?
I didn't know they made a second Heavy Metal movie.
Fact 2. FAKK, which stands for Future Something Something Something.
This is who does the art?
Simon
Bisley.
Yep,
that's right. Ooh, it's numbered.
I know. Martin was just not listening when I was talking.
No, I wasn't. I was totally focusing on trying to obtain a copy of Money Shot.
In the back of this, it shows some of the Melton Ponce, but maybe I'm crazy. Oh, yeah, they're showing the artwork from the actual movie down there, the animation cells for the characters.
I did not know they made a second one.
Yep.
Cover D is a polybagged as well. What's in cover D?
Boobies. What?
What's on cover D? Cover D is a...
Cover D was...
was polybagged as well.
Yeah, I think that one looked like a Marvel comic. That might be cover B.
Cover B did. Cover B looked like an old Fantastic Four.
Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. I don't remember what cover D was.
Well, we're gonna sick our favorite comic book retailers on this one, see if they that's can true. Get us a copy.
But then I brought all these as well because they were part of Melton Ponce, which is just issues 1 to 4, which is the complete set, the sketchbook. Grab away. Yeah, go through it. They're great.
Kitchen sink, eh?
Oh, yeah. Whenever I see anything in a dollar bin of kitchen sink, I'm like, yoink. It's like, I'll take that.
Yeah. It's pretty decent stuff.
Yeah.
Who did this art? This is Corbin, isn't it?
I think it's Beasley, isn't it?
No, that can't be.
I don't know.
Talbot.
There you go. Oh, yeah.
Brian Talbot, right?
I guess these are all Eastman Talbot Beasley.
Is that his name? Brian Talbot?
Definitely his last name.
Eastman Talbot. Eric. Eric Talbot was born and raised in Portland. Who's Brian Talbot?
I'm not sure.
The Adventures of Luther Arkwright? Oh my gosh. The brain's just like clicking all these old 1990s and 80s comics. Somebody's going to tweet.
And then I brought a Uros trade paperback because Martin was sharing the previews.
Oh, yes.
So flip through it if you will, but it's exactly what you think it is.
We're going to have to take a look at that.
Yeah, so it's not for sale in Canada, according to the...
Yeah, so we're cruising through the previews, and Adam here likes comics published by Eros Comics, right?
Is it Eros or... I don't know.
Well, it's...
E-R...
It's O-S. Erotic, right? So Eros.
I guess that's true.
But, and we didn't think that they were still being published, but lo and behold, in previews, they had three trade. Wow.
I saw something.
Oh, dear. Oh, my. Oh, my. Snorf, gargle, gulp, snorf. Om, gluck, plorp, sklick.
Oh.
Burble. There's some onomatopoeias in here. Gulp, glump, splatter.
Make 1966 Batman blush, eh?
Oh my god, yeah.
Those are some veins. Holy moly. Oh my. Anyways, back to the story before I got totally distracted. Oh, there's a totally different colorist than the first half. Anyways. So they had some of these Eros comics. And so I sent the picture to Adam and like, look, you can still get them. He's like, got it. I'm like, oh, these are reprints.
Yeah, they must be reprints. Yeah.
Like, got it. And then we're noticing in the fine print, it says not for sale in Puerto Rico, Canada, and the outlying U.S. Virgin territories, Virgin Island territories. So it's like, yeah, no, you can't bring that to Canada. It's like a boundless comic. Can't have those in here either.
When I was talking to the gentleman at Gotham Central, we were talking about Glenn Danzig's books, and I was like, oh, I have these ones. I'm looking for some Jaguar Gods. He's like, I don't know how those get into Canada. I'm like, oh. Because at one point, they were banned, but they're fine now, apparently.
Well, the rules in Canada for pornography is it's based on community standards.
Yeah.
So if somebody complains, then that's considered the community being upset about it. So then they'll ban it at customs, and then you can appeal that ban and see if you can convince a judge that it's just one whack job who didn't like it versus a whole bunch. But in the meantime, as soon as customs bans it, the RCMP goes and they start charging you with pornography and all that sort of stuff, and it gets all dicey. And then the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund is involved, and it's just messy.
And nobody wants
there's an actual comic book.
Yeah, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. They're the folks that actually own the old Comics Code Authority logo now.
Okay.
So when the Comics Code went belly up,
that nobody uses anymore, yeah.
They gave that to the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. So if you see any mugs or coffee or t-shirts or anything, that's them fundraising for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Hmm. That's cool.
So if you're a retailer that got in trouble, you can ask them for some help.
Yeah, it's mostly for retailers, not so much for individual suckers, I don't
think. I haven't seen any publishers use it. Mostly retailers who get busted, because like, the retailers are just ordering what's in Diamond.
Yeah.
But the moms are seeing that the retailer is shucking this stuff to kids, right? So it's usually the retailer gets in trouble. You would think the publishers would get in there and say, yeah, okay, let me help you out. But since, according to Dan Collins, all this stuff is printed off of a mimeograph in some pervert's basement, that's obviously not going to happen. So I went to the Hamilton Comic Con.
Cool.
That was fun. It was at the, where is it, the Warplane Heritage Museum instead of downtown.
Okay.
And they said they moved from downtown to the museum because it was bigger.
More parking?
I don't think it was bigger.
No?
Yeah, definitely more parking. I mean, there's no parking downtown, but I don't think it was bigger. They had the place in and amongst the planes and stuff like this. And mm-hmm. It was actually kind of funny because, oh my gosh, I just total nerd experience. I walked in and I saw some of the planes, and I'm an old ex-air cadet and stuff, so I got a little, ooh, airplanes. And off in the distance, I saw something, and I'm like, no, it isn't. And I'm like, beelined right through the hangar, all the way past a couple of security guards, and there was a part of the Avro Arrow wing with the
cool.
And the logo on it. And I'm like, that's an arrow. That's a part of it. And right beside it was a nose cone from an arrow. I'm like, oh! So as I'm standing there going, having a little, you know, moment there, you know, this volunteer security guard, like they're staff members of the museum, right? He comes up and he's like, can I help you? I'm like, is that what I think it is? He goes, yes, it is. You want to look at it up close? Yes. So he lifted the rope and went over there. I'm like touching it going, Nirvana. Oh man. Avril Arrow. Even now.
Just as long as it doesn't get a chainsaw and come after you for no. Roping anyway.
Even now. But anyways, so when I was there, of course, I was like hitting up all the independent guys. And there was a fellow that I bought one of his books at Richard Cumley's Tri-City Comic Con. But I couldn't remember what convention I bought it at. And he's all like, well, which number do you get? They're all numbered. And what did you think of page 2? And where'd you buy it? And I'm like, no, I bought it. I swear I bought it. I don't remember where I bought it. And I didn't read it because it's in my pile of to read stuff, but no, I bought it. He's just like looking at me going, yeah, sure you bought it. Whatever. You're an asshole. But I did find a book called Light. This is made by Right Hand Company, Right Hand Comics. Right Hand Comics on Instagram, RRH Comics on Facebook. I have to say that because it was really hard for me to find them online. And it's this kind of a gods type story where there's this one god of light, and her responsibility is to watch over souls as they get resurrected when they go over this waterfall of light. Like it kind of looks like lava and stuff like this. And there's this one soul that's being reincarnated, and I guess the last time this soul got reincarnated, it was like chaotic for man and caused all sorts of problems. So she decides to take action and she wants to prevent it, and all of her sisters jump up and say no, you can't do that and stuff, and they get all battle-y and all Ragnarok-y and stuff like this. It's written by Aldrich Stillbore, drawn by Val Jr. And I think it was Val at the booth that I bought this from. And the art is phenomenal. Like, this is fantastic. Adam will totally appreciate the art in this book. But it's really, really cool. And it just came out, like, just the first issue, right? It was a Kickstarter thing like that. And so she had copies of it there. And I'm just like, this is...
It is really nice.
Like, how is it possible that people like this are publishing stuff on their own independently, and we're getting some of the crappy art that we're getting at Marvel and DC? Mm-hmm. Like, why aren't they hiring these people? Surely they must be going to shows and stuff like this. Like,
I think it's because they like to see the regurgitation.
Yeah.
Like they want to see the old stories kind of keep coming back and revitalizing it. Like the 2099 stuff that's coming out, you know, it's just kind of like, yeah, they've revamped them all, but try something new and different.
Yeah,
and...
but that's content. I'm talking more like just the art. Like, I get the content because most writers, they see all these success stories of, like, Walking Dead making it big in multimedia. Men in Black. I mean, Men in Black issue one was published by an air conditioning company, Aircell. Mm-hmm. You know, and so all the independent creators and stuff like this, they're like, no, I want my IP. I want to be able to sell it, make big bucks, make a movie and stuff. But just from an art point of view, like, oh my goodness, like some of the stuff, like send one of your editors to the local comic convention and pick somebody up off the thing. The only other thing I can think of is maybe this young lady took 6 months to draw one book.
And that's possible too, right?
And the other guy is, you know, 2.5 weeks to draw 20 pages. Because that's the other thing, right? Like, how much longer do we have to wait for Doomsday Clock in DC? Like, oh my goodness. Kill me now.
So does it come down to that Marvel and DC want quantity over quality?
Well, yeah. They need a monthly publishing schedule, right? So they want as good of a quality as they can get for as little as they can get for, you know, pump me out 20 pages. But this was, I can't remember, this was the regular cover, I think, and they had like three other covers, but I thought it was awesome.
That was nice.
It was cool.
Yeah.
But that was at Hamilton, yeah.
Okay. I've never been.
Sam Tweedle went to Hamilton too, but we somehow zigged and zagged. He might have been there on Sunday or Saturday evening and afternoon. I was there Saturday morning. But he went for the celebrities. Hamilton's a big wrestling town, right? Used to be home of Maple Leaf Wrestling.
Yeah.
So all the wrestlers were there. It was awesome.
Nice.
What's his name? Sam Jones? Flash Gordon? I had a little bit of an incident with him. He, Flash Gordon movie, right? Flash! Well, the actor, he was there signing and stuff like that. So he's walking down the aisle, and I'm walking perpendicular down another aisle, and we literally turned around and boosh, right into his chest. Like, just boom. Now, I'm not a small guy. I'm not exactly huge. I'm not exactly tall, but, you know, I'm not a tiny guy. I got knocked back, and I look up, and all I see is, like, just pecs. Like, that's all, just pecs. And he's like, hey, how you doing, little buddy? You okay? I'm like, holy moly. Like, he must be 60, 60-something. Mm-hmm. Huge, and still built like a brick shit house. Just massive guy, nicest fellow ever. He was hilarious. We chatted for a minute or two, but just awesome. He was obviously on the way to the bathroom or something like this. He's like, sorry I bumped into you, but I really gotta go. You okay? Yeah, okay, good. Gotta go. So that was fun. It was fun. But that was also the same weekend as the Mississauga Comic Expo, or what do they call that? The one at the library, Jason Liu's Expo, MCX. Yeah. What does MCX stand for? Mississauga Comics Expo?
Probably.
Mississauga Comics Exchange?
Expo, probably.
Expo.
I'm going with Expo. Yeah. But so a lot of people, instead of going to Hamilton, were there.
Okay.
And that's one show I haven't had a chance to do, but I really, really should. I should talk to Jason, maybe volunteer next year.
Yeah.
Because it looked like a fun time. All of our buddies and friends were there. Other than that, what shows up next?
For me, Toronto in March. In the spring?
Yeah. The Toronto Comic Con.
Usually takes me that long to put some cash together to go.
Yeah, there's always that. They have the Christmas one-day show. I usually go to that just to say hi to everybody for Christmas, wish them Merry Christmas and stuff like that. But that should be fun. What else we got? Anything interesting?
I just got a text. It's Expo.
Expo. There we go.
Who'd you get a text from?
Martin.
Oh, okay. The other thing that came out this week is DC Comics Deceased number 6. Finally ending this series.
I picked up one, and one was kind of cool. I kind of dug it, but not enough to actually go out and buy the series.
Well, this is one of those things where I'll get a mini series and I'll be so completely disappointed by the event. I just, you know, it's there's delays and it never shows up. Doomsday Clock. Secret Wars was like that. Civil War II and all these like big series, and it's, we are going to change the comics universe forever with this miniseries.
And that's why I don't pick it up.
Yeah, six issues released over 19 months and some of this.
Yeah.
So every so often I'm like, you know, I'm done. I'm done with an event book. I'm not getting an event book. And this was one of those cases. And it's just like, nope, I'm done. I'm not getting it. And then it's an actually good series. The same thing happened with a little while ago. There was another series, and it was like, oh, I'm done with events. And then it was like, oh, no, I'm not done with events because this was great. I'm going to do it again. Mm-hmm. No, the next one sucked. So it's like four out of five suck. But that one fifth one, so deceased, the idea here is this is kind of Marvel's, DC's version of Marvel Zombies.
Yeah.
But the anti-life equation is the infecting vector that runs around from the New Gods, and in this particular series, Superman gets infected by it. So Superman's running around Earth trying to kill everybody, and they kind of make some arcs, and they try to get... Anyways, it was really good. And this is one of those series where each issue got better and better and better. So nice. It was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I read the first issue. It was pretty cool. That was the Batman one. Yeah. I don't know. Is it a different character every issue? I mean, I only read...
No, it's like an ongoing story, okay. But they touch on everybody. Like, Black Canary turns out to be a Green Lantern because she's standing right beside Green Lantern when he dies, and the ring picks the next person who's worthy, who's mm-hmm. closest, and she was standing right there. So all of a sudden, Black Canary's a Green Lantern, right? Just really neat twists and stuff like that. It was really good. I liked it.
Which Lantern died?
Hal Jordan.
Okay.
Yeah. Hal Jordan. Poison Ivy plays this big major role in this, in here, and Wonder Woman is the one who actually like cuts off Superman's arm, and she doesn't kill him. But it was just really good. It was just one of those surprising miniseries that's like, oh. So now I'm going to be an idiot, and the next miniseries that comes out, I'm going to buy that and be like disappointed and stupid.
I usually come on late to the major series because I'm like, I'm just not doing it. Like when Superman died, I'm like, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not. But then they did the rebirth, and they had the four different series. Like each Superman series was a different Superman. And I was like, oh, man, that's cool. So I bought into that, and then I was like, well, I guess I really should read what happened before, right? So now I'm buying the back issues, and some of them I waited until a lot longer to get, like, actual, you know, Superman number 75 where he actually dies.
Yeah.
Like, I paid $6 for it. I wasn't paying $200 on on the comic shop wall. And then, you know, Batman was the same thing. You know, I kind of came in when it was after the Batman was broken, like when Azrael became Batman.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh man, Azrael's awesome. I love this costume. He's so cool. He kills people. And so then I jumped in and I was like, well, I guess I should read what happened before. So I always tend to come in like late on the big series. So it's like, I don't know whether it's just I don't want to commit to like a lifetime subscription to, you know, Batman magazines. But
well, the other thing is this is one of the, what I'm noticing is they'll have the one big earth-shattering event that changes everything. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have a smaller one. And then they'll have a big, huge one, and then a smaller one, a big, huge one, smaller one. This is with the smaller blip that happened between Doomsday Clock and whatever's coming next.
But they didn't do, like, spinoffs and that. Like, that doesn't actually touch. So that's the kind of series that I don't mind reading.
Exactly.
Where it's six, that one's six issues, where it's six issues, you go buy them. Fantastic. You read them.
Yeah.
It's a great series. Perfect.
Yeah.
I can't stand, like, Civil War, where, you know, in order to get the full story, you have to be a millionaire.
Well, the one that drove me nuts was Black Vortex from Marvel.
Okay,
I was reading Inhumans only. I think it was called Inhuman at the time. Really great series, and it was going off. Everything's gangbusters, and then all of a sudden they had these two episodes where everybody's these black leather wearing fetish evil people because of Black Vortex. And it was like two or three issues that just kind of interrupted the flow.
Mm.
And then when the event was done, they didn't go back and pick up what they were, you know, it's almost like a whole different creative team got called in to do the rest of the book. And there's all these unresolved issues and stuff. And I'm just like,
well, that's the big problem with stuff like that. I don't like when they do that. And they right now, the big one is Carnage.
Yeah.
Like Carnage is in literally every single book. Like if you crack open previews, like Carnage is on every cover.
Yeah.
It's like way to make people hate the guy.
Even seeing like on the comic book rack, the new releases for the Marvel section, just everywhere. I'm like, I could care less. Like I don't care.
I mean, I like Venom. I like Carnage.
Yeah.
They're very interesting characters. However, it really does turn me off when you look at the rack and it doesn't matter what shop you're in, and all you see is one character on every cover. It's like, gag me.
Yeah.
Can't stand it.
With a spoon.
So
with
is,
a spoon.
Is deceased standard continuity for the DC
comic no.
universe? No. No. Okay. No. No, it's like an alternative multiverse. Like, that's one of the nice things about DC with their... When they re-embrace the idea of multiple planets and stuff like this, it gives them the opportunity to do a silly one-off story like this. Mm-hmm. And all the continuity nuts are like, and they're like, it happened on a different Earth. Shut up.
Yeah. But those are the best books because nothing matters. You can do what you want as the writer. You can kill characters.
Well, it's six issues. Like, get over it. It's not...
Well, the same
obviously
thing,
it's not going to be earth-changing in those six issues.
Same thing happened with Marvel Zombies. I mean, everybody dies in it, and the regular books were still going on. It wasn't, you know, so it works for me. Tell a good tale, and I'm there. I'm invested.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I don't know if you guys read it, but like Justice League versus He-Man. I don't know if you guys read that.
No.
No, okay. I missed it.
Okay, well, I bought it. It was actually pretty good. But in the second book, I think it is, He-Man stabs Superman through the chest and kills him, right? In the second book. And you're like, okay, that's cool, right? Because the Superman books are still running. So you know that Superman is not really dead.
Yeah.
And that this is not happening inside of their collective universe. Like, this is just, this is somebody telling a story that they really want to tell. And I don't know. I find that everything being so intertwined, it really makes it one hard as a collector to figure out what you want to actually buy.
Yeah.
Because if everything is so interconnected, like all the X titles, everything is so interwoven that you have to have like 20 titles a month to kind of understand what's going on.
Or you wait, what, like a year or two for the trades to come out at a good price.
Yeah.
Because even what Powers of X and Age of X, the hardcover's like $60. I can't imagine. I'm like, oh, I've read it. And I'm like, it's fine. But I would like to get in a trade for like 20, but like $60. No, no, thank you.
I don't know.
I had a thought, but I lost it.
Oh, about
multiple covers, comics, intertwining. No, it's fading even further.
Oh.
It's fading even further.
That's what happens when your brain's 50.
So one of the stories I really liked was the Cable and Hope Summers. So I have all those trades. And if I were to try and buy them individually or then they were coming out, I'd be broke. Like, I would not be able to afford all that.
I remember now.
Yes.
Just before Superman died.
Yeah.
The same thing happened with the Superman books, is that the story kept going across all the different books between Action, Adventure, Superman.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Man of Steel?
Yeah.
Anyways, they put triangles on the cover with a number, and you read them in the number of the triangles. So you literally had to buy 5 books a month to get the story.
Yeah.
And that just drove me nuts. Like, I instantly stopped buying Superman as soon as that happened. It's like, no, I can't. I'm lost every issue because I'm only buying Superman.
Yeah.
I'm not buying Action and all the rest.
Yeah.
So I feel you.
Yeah. It's frustrating. You know, you've got a good run that you've been collecting and reading, and then all of a sudden, yes, I haven't read mine, but I have it.
There you go.
One and two.
Yeah, I grabbed one and two. Anyway, sorry, go ahead. I was just distracting you.
Yeah.
All right, you talk about this.
I haven't actually read it, but...
Oh, okay. But you know a lot about it, so...
I know a lot about it.
Well, I walked into the comic shop, and I saw an independent book. And that's not all that common here in Peterborough.
It is not at
all. I mean,
all.
I brought in those books from Strange Adventures. No, not Strange Adventures.
Yeah. They're Canadian with the newspaper.
The Canadian Street
paper.
Fighter.
Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. The guys... not Galaxy. Gladway. Oh, my gosh. The guys are going to kill me. We'll look it up. But, it was Street Fighting Man. Strange Adventures, and there was another book. And basically what it was a Marvel 70s kind of Gladway. It's Gladway.
Gladway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Yep. Grandway?
Grandway.
There we go.
Grandway Comics. Which I'm surprised I haven't seen issues 2 yet. But they were done on like newsprint and they looked very 70s, and there was even a Stanley and Jack Kirby cameo in one of the issues, and it was fun. So I brought those into Grey Guardian, and Sean was kind enough to put them on the rack. So right beside, like, they still have one or two issues of, no, they have 2 copies of one of the series still. And I saw this right beside it. I'm like, that's different. what's that? So I picked up one, and right behind it was number two. I'm like, oh, thank you. So I grabbed one and two. I walked to the counter there, and Alex is like, yeah, those are the, did Chris talk to you about those? Because Chris was like, Chris was like, with Chris. And I'm like, nah, nobody said anything. What is this? So go ahead. Yeah.
So anyways, I was perusing the rack as per usual, and lo and behold, I see two books that I've never seen before, and I pull it out, and I'm looking at it, and he's like, hey, I was like, how much are these? Because there's no price on them. And he's like, oh, they're $5. We're selling them on consignment for a guy in Niagara Falls. And I'm like, oh, cool. So he's actually reasonably local. He's Canadian. Mm-hmm. And the books are autographed right off the bat, too. Yeah. So it's kind of cool. And I haven't actually cracked them open. You should see my to-read pile. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
I just finally caught up on my G.I. Joe stuff, just as an aside. And that was a year worth of G.I. Joe to read. It was like 12 issues to actually sit down and crazy. But anyways, so the cover caught my eye, right? Because it's the giant skeleton thing on in there. Mm-hmm. And
so this is Seeing Things by Michael Morton, aforementioned Negrofolian. what's it called here? Crime League Comics, published in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Is there a website? I don't see a website. Yes. CrimeLeagueComics.com. www.CrimeLeagueComics.com. So check it out. It's interesting. Like, you know, the art is an art style. It's not a house style. Like, it's not something you'd see on Superman or something like this. But it's good. Like, it's quality art. And the book itself is really well done up. And I haven't read it yet either. But I did bring it in. But yeah, apparently you and I have to arm wrestle for the pin that came with it. There was a pin that came
totally
with it.
Totally mine. He said I got it first.
Well, I don't know, because I have the pin at home.
Oh.
So I physically have the pin, but we're supposed to arm wrestle so you get to keep the pin.
Oh, it's all right.
I was taking my poppy. I got a poppy hanging in my car. And I took it off to put it on my coat. And right behind the poppy is a pitiful human lizard pin that I guess I stuck up there two fan expos ago or something. And it was hidden by the poppy this whole time.
Nice.
So for a whole year, this thing sitting in my car, I didn't even remember it was there. So I'm not a big pin guy, so you can have the pin.
Awesome.
There you go.
I display it on the wall. I have like some Ghost Rider pins from like, you know, they were like $12 in the 90s, and I was retarded. So I bought like two of those, and I got a Wolverine one. So that's like $35 in pins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So Seeing Things.
Yeah.
Get it. It's got nothing to do with the CBC Seeing Things TV show with Louis Del Grande. Was it Louis Del Grande or Louis Delgado?
You got me. Come on. I never saw it.
Where's Sam Tweedle when I need him?
what decade is that from?
70s, 80s?
No.
Early 80s?
Yeah. No.
Sorry, man. Early 80s, I was watching like Knight Rider.
It was like oh my gosh, I can't believe it. I just told the story about Sam Flash bumping into me. This Leo guy ran over me with a bicycle in Toronto. I just totally remembered that. I was downtown Toronto. No, there was a bookstore in Toronto, kind of like, I bet you it was BMV. It was like one of the very first versions of BMV or something like that. But it was near the hospital where my mom was getting treatments, and I just went for a walk, and I found this bookstore. I found a whole bunch of trade paperbacks and stuff, bought them, and I walked out, and poof, again, got run over by a guy on a bike, and I swear it was him. If it wasn't him, it was David Cross, who's the...
David Cross is
from
Alvin and the Chipmunks.
No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the guy from he dressed up as Blue Man Group in
That's David Cross. He was the principal in She's the Man, starring Amanda Bynes.
Oh yeah.
There you go. Come on now. What children am I thinking of? The Bluth family.
Yeah, that's
Arrested Development. Yeah.
That's too recent. That's too on the nose. You have to pick more obscure things. Amanda Bynes, She's the Man. Great movie.
He was a fluffer in Debbie Does Vegas. There is that better? Fluffer? Is that more in your?
I haven't seen that one.
Realm, yeah.
Okay. Nope.
Anyways, what else we got? Anything interesting?
I bought a sci-fi entertainment magazine.
What?
For what?
They make magazines?
Well, this is from 1995, oh, August 95.
You can tell by the cover.
Why did I buy that? By reading the cover.
Well, the Waterworld story, of course.
Yes, which is where your thumb is right now. So if you open it, you can...
So heaven forbid you bought it for Judge Dredd, Sylvester Stallone.
No.
But this is going to sound horrible, but the best part of that movie was... what's her name?
I've never seen it.
Sandra Bullock. It was one of her first movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And everybody was wearing these skin-tight black tights as part of their cop uniforms. So like,
there's nice Doctor Who VHS ads in there as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The magazines from the 90s, that's where you get like the most entertainment now, I find. That you open up and like...
This was the internet. Like, yeah. we didn't have... Like, you just talked about Money Shot, and I just literally hopped on eBay and ding! Okay, issue one's on its way. You didn't have that back then. You had to go and buy the magazine and dig through these weird and unusual articles in the back. And
well, eBay was there, but it was pretty sketchy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was on eBay 1998 or 1999.
Yeah.
99. You had to you'd buy something, then you'd go to the post office, get a money order, mail the money order, wait for the money order to get there. He would take it to the bank.
Yeah, that was...
Wait for it to clear. Once it cleared, he mailed your stuff.
Yeah, so it was like a month process. Yeah.
At least. Three-dimensional Star Trek chess. I wonder if you can still order this.
Yeah, it's like when
Franklin Mint.
When you go to see a movie and you'd see movie posters in the lobby, you're like, I didn't know that was going to be coming out. Or you see a trailer before a movie and you're surprised.
Yeah.
Where now, like, you don't get any surprises in theaters anymore for trailers even.
No, that's why they have all these secret Star Blazers, the complete trilogy, the deluxe collector's edition on VHS. Oh, man. You guys don't even remember Star Blazers.
No.
Yeah, that's a...
anime cartoon. That was fun.
Isn't that Battleship Yamato?
Yeah.
Yeah, see? I know stuff.
Yeah, what they did was they took Battleship Yamato and another anime, and they spliced them together and took pieces from a bunch of animes to make this story.
That's how you did anime back in the day.
No, that's how you butchered anime and released it in North America.
Like Robotech, which...
Yeah, exactly.
Same thing. Even technically Transformers with the toys that they brought over.
Transformers.
Did you want to look at this? It's horrible.
Sure, I'll take a look at that.
This is a time capsule.
Oh yeah, they're awesome. They're awesome. I remember there was in the back of one, you could order a Battlestar Galactica jacket, Colonial Viper pilot jacket, and I wanted that jacket so bad, but it was like whatever, you know, $22.95 or $14.95 back then in the 70s, and I was a poor little kid without a newspaper article. Dad, can I have this? What? What? You want a jacket? I take you down to Harold's and we go get a jacket.
I don't know how many Highlander DVDs of yours that have the official like merchandise guide in it.
Oh, yeah?
Because I have a couple where like I bought the DVDs and there's just like, I want to buy everything in this book. And I can't because... was it like legendaryheroes.com is no longer around.
Yeah.
You can't buy the 10th anniversary jacket. You can't get the pins. You can't get the plates.
I remember going to Highlander.com once, and it was this, or Highlandermovie.com, whatever the domain was, and it was this horrible HTML 2.0, you know, blinking GIFs everywhere and some of this, and you could order all sorts of funk and groove and stuff.
Screamers, nice.
So that's fun.
Yeah, whenever I see magazines like this, and if it's the cover or something I know, or like Waterworld on it, I'll be like, I'm going to buy this. I think that was like $2.
Oh, yeah.
Well worth it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Where'd you pick it up?
Comic Alley Toys.
Nice.
Yeah.
They got some nice stuff there sometimes.
Yeah. I saw a guy on the auction site, and he was running a wizard, you know, the wizard book?
Yeah.
He was running an auction with those. He was looking for $3 a piece. That's $2 more than I want to spend on one. But...
Well, for a little while there, I was getting every issue of Wizard. The other thing I used to buy is the newspaper, Comic Buyer's Guide.
Okay.
That came out weekly. I used to buy that every week. That was fun. I feel like I was the only person in Peterborough who bought it.
I used to buy, I think it's pronounced Scry. Is that one? S-C-R-Y? I don't know.
What's that?
It was some book. I think they had lots of Magic the Gathering in it.
Oh, okay.
I used to buy it from Raiders of the Lost Arcade. When they were inside Lansdowne Place. Back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
There you go. And the final thing that I brought in, and this confounds me to no end. There is some guy on Amazon who is selling, basically he's taking old comic books, photocopying them.
Oh, that guy.
Public domain.
And public, right? Yeah, but this is Charlton Comics, however you want to pronounce it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that stuff's public domain. This is Peacemaker. Like, DC Comics owns Peacemaker. So what this is a trade paperback of old Charlton Comics. I always get that wrong. Yeah, I guess because of Charlton Heston, some people call it Charlton Comics. But, I mean, we also have characters, so this could be Carlton Comics. Little Polish kid here. Don't make fun of me for not speaking English. The Peacemaker, which was a character that they had back in the 60s. This is 60s. Yeah, it's got to be 60s because it's 12 cents an issue. So he's basically just got every single comic book scanned, not retouched in any way, shape, or form. Like, you can actually see the edges of the photocopies in the scans, right? And it's just put into a book and republished, like... no ads, but he's got a couple of editorial pages in here and stuff like this. And I'm finding all sorts of these things out there on Amazon. Like, how is somebody not...
Getting sued.
Now, it's a nice, you know, good quality paper, nice binding and stuff like
that.
Get
the complete catalog by contacting Classic Comics Library at
domain.com,
wherever the domain name
is. Like, is it because DC Comics doesn't have rights to the original Charlton material, so they can't really sue them? And that stuff is, like, I can't imagine, like, the Mickey Mouse cartoon is not in the public domain yet.
And it should be.
Yes, it's actually, since, there hasn't been anything new in the public domain since Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. And that's basically because of
Disney
trying to get rules. They had Sonny Bono as a senator.
Did somebody color this in with pen to make it blue?
I have no idea, man. Yeah. Like, I'm telling you, it's just weird. Yeah. Now, Charlton Comics had horrible, like, they literally printed their comic books on a press that was used to print cereal boxes.
Oh, okay.
So they always had horrible printing and things were offset and things weren't great. But and it's decent enough copies of the book. Like, some of them are a little yellowed.
Yeah.
But you can literally see the edges and the lines. And, like, if the one cover was on the scanner bed a little high...
Yeah.
Because he didn't push down on it. You see that line and stuff like this. And I don't know how much it was. $35? It wasn't cheap. But I'm just flabbergasted. I just don't understand how that's possible that the stuff gets printed like that.
I know that public domain is what? It's so many years after the creator dies?
Yeah, it's changed a bunch of times. Yeah. It used to be just a set number of years.
Yep.
You have X number of years to make your money off the thing that you created, and then too bad. Yep. And that's why the Edgar Rice Burroughs books and stuff like this, you can go and get a Conan book for free off of Kobo, and then somebody else will take the exact same PDF and restructure it ever so slightly and try to charge you $1.25 for the same thing. Mm-hmm. So that's how that works. And then there's the whole bunch of stuff where if you sold it then and you're the original writer, you can then claim to try to reclaim it back. And it's like, because the laws have been changed left, right, and center, right, in the States because of Disney and their lobbying efforts. I don't know. Like, it just... Of some of the stuff that he's got is like ancient 1940s stuff. I can see it, right?
Yeah.
But this is a character that DC Comics owns. This is stuff that was printed only in the 60s, not back in the 40s and 30s. Mm. So I just don't get it. But, I mean, I'm reading the snot out of it. It's awesome. I remember getting these books as a kid in not like off the newsstand, but whenever you went to like a used bookstore and stuff, there were stacks of these. It's like one of the first old comic series that I collected was a bunch of Charlton stuff. So I don't know. It just seems kind of weird.
Yeah.
The Complete Peacemaker. We have all 5 issues of this short-lived 1960s Action Comics that you can get them individually or all together in The Complete Peacemaker. This volume includes his 2 earliest appearances from Fighting 5. And like you said, Classic Comics Library at yahoo.com.
Oh, you said the
email. It's got the official.
Yeah.
The official.
Get the complete catalog. Isn't Yahoo from the 60s?
And it's nice because when you have this on your shelf, you can pick it out easily by the spine.
There is no printing on the spine whatsoever. It's completely
nice.
Yeah, he went for the deluxe printing copy at Vistaprint.
I know that you can, if you submit your PDF to Amazon, you can they'll print it and keep it on site for you. So that's probably what he did and just did not do a spine.
Yeah.
I don't know. At 110 pages, and I know this for a fact, at 110 pages, they will print the title on the spine.
How many pages?
Well, that is like 65. That is thick enough. Like, but that's 110 at 6x9.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
And but that is
made in the USA.
That is big. That is thicker than my 156
pages of art.
So
and then they threw in a bunch of dead pages because you know how you got to do everything in four.
Yeah.
To so he's got four dead pages in here.
Nice. Jeez. But yeah, totally. It should have just it automatically prints it on the side. I didn't have to format it. It just printed it on our small books, and bam, it was on the sides. Well, mine, not Martin's. His was too small.
Yeah,
that's funny.
It was like that is, I don't know.
That's my
he like skipped the, I'm not paying for that.
No. Well, considering how much I paid for it, I probably over, like, I can't imagine you could, I don't know how much a trade paperback costs to print.
I don't know.
Anyways, yeah, he just had a bunch of them. Just go to Amazon, amazon.ca, and type in like vintage comic or something like this, or some obscure property or collected library, and stuff will pop up. It's kind of nuts. The old Dell Comics for a little while tried to reinvigorate the monster genre, so they had Frankenstein. Issue one was an adaptation of the movie. Issue two was Frankenstein as a superhero. and then they did the same thing with Dracula. Issue one was the adaptation. They did the same thing with Wolfman. And then all of a sudden, Dracula is like Frankenstein was it Dracula was dressed up, almost looked like Batman, only without the cape. It looked like who invented Batman other than Bill Finger?
Bob Kane.
Bob Kane. It looked like Bob Kane's version of Batman.
Okay.
You know, without all the cool Bill Finger additions.
The sad
and stuff.
Ears.
Yeah, the sad ears and stuff.
Yeah.
And you can buy that. From this guy as well.
Really?
You know, nice. But those, the reproduction on those, horrible.
Oh, I would.
Horrible. like he must, like, dude, clean your photocopier, clean the top of your scanner bed.
Oh. Well, the old newsprint pages did not keep well.
No.
Like, the black ink would transfer from page to page, and I actually remember in the 90s when Image, I believe it was Image, was the first comic printers to go with the magazine pages, like the glossy page.
Yeah.
And it wasn't long after that then Marvel and DC started doing it on their major titles.
Yeah. Well, you could see through the page. You could see the stuff printed on the
inside. They were terrible. Like, and, you know, you've got like this nice page and it's got black ink on the other side and it's just like, oh.
What is this?
You know, you can't see somebody's face and...
Oh, well, I don't know how we managed to do it since we had absolutely nothing serious to talk about, but we've burnt the hour through. So we will see you all next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, kind of, maybe?
Ish.
You have been listening to the Hey Kids Comics Radio Show broadcast through the facilities of Trent Radio on 92.7 CFFF-FM in Peterborough, Ontario, and available as a downloadable podcast at www.heykidscomics.ca and at www.firstcomicsnews.com. Promotional consideration for the show was provided by no one. Are you kidding me? We couldn't get advertisers if we tried. Wardrobe for our hosts was provided by Joe Nerds in Whitby, Ontario. They don't know that fact, but that is where we get 90% of our clothes from. No animals were harmed in the making of this radio show. Marty tried, but allergies won't let him get too close to Sam's cats. The views and opinions expressed by Sam are solely his own and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the rest of the hosts, as we all like The Walking Dead TV show. The Hey Kids Comics Radio Show is a Quinn Martin production and copyright Hey Kids Comico. Rebroadcasting in part or in whole of this show is forbidden, but really, who would want to anyway?
level check for Eugene Levy CFFF promo. Take three.
Testing 1, 2, 3. Good level?
Yep.
Bobby Bittman here. I always listen to Trent Radio 92.7. I love this guy. I really do.
You do one more of those?
Sure. What was wrong with that one?
Nothing. The level was a little high.
Okay. Hi, this is Bobby Bittman. When I'm in the Kawarthas, I listen to Trent Radio 92.7 FM.